parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed, your fast passes are booked, pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 90 of the My DVC Points podcast. I'm Jody with DVC Resale Market, your co-host with Chad Pennycuff.
Hey, Jody, how you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. I think it's a fun tradition that I let you guys just do my show opener here.
Thank you. Yeah, that was fun.
So today we're talking average sales prices, inventory analysis, and ROFA report for April 2020.
Yes, been a bit interesting, Chad. There's some peculiar things that have happened.
What a strange time.
Right?
I guess the big news in here is the ROFA report, and DVC bought back nothing last month.
Zero. And I was talking to my colleagues, and I'm not saying it's never happened before, but I can tell you, with as long as I've been doing this, I don't recall a time where there's been zero buyback. Might have happened, but if it had, it's very few and far between, and it was quite a while ago. So that's really interesting.
I'm telling you, why do you think it is this month? What's your speculations here?
Well, I've heard a lot of different ideas from folks on what they think it is. And I think it's a combination of a couple of things. One is sort of the obvious is Disney not spending any capital, especially while they're not selling this right now. DVC isn't open for sales. So are they holding on to some of that money and just waiting to see what happens? Of course, that, you know, financially makes, you know, is a logical choice or decision to go with. But I also thought, and again, this is just Jody's theory. I don't know if this is true, but many of the folks in member services and member admin are furloughed right now or working from home. So I think they have to prioritize what gets done. It's not business as usual right now. So I do know that there are folks in member admin and member services that are doing jobs that aren't their typical jobs. It's sort of all hands on deck and they're helping each other and all that kind of great stuff, teamwork and everything. But perhaps right of first refusal, buying contracts back is low on their priority list if they have to prioritize what gets done with the limited amount of manpower that they have too.
Well, that makes sense as well. Okay. They've got limited staff due to the furlough. So they've got X amount of admin power to do. And we know that their direct sales guides aren't working right now.
Correct.
So they're not selling anything.
Correct.
Okay.
Crazy, though. I'm surprised that they don't at least, I understand, obviously not the face-to-face tours. Just very curious as to why they don't have the telesales open, but I'm sure that there's a reason behind it, maybe. Could be the manpower behind servicing those sales once they're in. That could be. I'm not sure, but I just find it interesting that they don't have at least lines for people to call inbound, but there may be a reason for that.
That is a mind-blown thing for me. I mean, my day job is in the call center industry, and my guide, Randy, works in telesales out of his house.
Right.
So I'm going, like, why are you not selling? That doesn't make sense. But
I know.
All it's I weird. Can tell you is it seems like it's good for the resale market because you guys are kind of the only game in town if you're looking to buy some points right now.
This is true. Yes, our sales have been very strong, very, very strong, surprisingly strong in this climate. So yeah, definitely. I'm sure that has definitely fed a lot of the fuel to our sales as well.
It's been kind of crazy because I think Nick put in his report that last year in April, you sold 280 contracts. And then in this year, April, you sold 290?
Yeah, I just actually looked yesterday, and granted, we're a couple days into May now, but from April 1st to as of yesterday, we had sold 340 contracts. And I think that's amazing during a worldwide pandemic. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it is. Last month in the ROFR conversation with Umberto, we were talking about, hey, the good news is sellers are still selling and buyers are still buying. Mm-hmm. And it looks like we're getting more buyers right now than we are sellers.
Absolutely. In fact, if you did take a look at Nick's blog, our inventory is shrinking. And that's a little surprising too. I mean, our sales are outpacing the amount of listings we're getting. So obviously a great time for sellers to list their contracts, but very, very, very interesting that who'd have thought, right? Who'd have thought at this time we would, if you would have asked me 2 months ago during the situation, I would have said, we have an abundance of listings and a shortage of buyers. And it's kind of the opposite. Crazy.
I would have thought as well, with people being furloughed and losing jobs and things like that, people would just be amputating the DVC contracts. But
yeah, I mean, you know, sadly, if you did not just get furloughed, but some people were laid off permanently to pay your bills, sometimes, you know, we all have to give up things that we love to do that. And I think it's great that we haven't seen the desperation from sellers. So I think that's awesome. Happy. I mean, as much as we need listings, I'm happy that people aren't feeling the need to sell because they need money.
Yeah.
You know, it's good for them.
You want everybody to stay in their contract as long as they want to stay in it and keep experiencing those magical memories. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think that's a beautiful thing. Now, here's a weird thought that I had. Okay. I know normally at tax refund time, sales tend to spike. Have you heard of any buyers coming in with some stimulus money saying that they're going to use that as their down payment?
I haven't. That is interesting, Chad. I hadn't thought about that. And you're absolutely right. Tax refund time is down payment time for a lot of folks, but I haven't heard the stimulus down payment or purchase option yet. But I mean, I can't say that some of my colleagues haven't come across that, but personally, no, I haven't heard that yet.
Okay. Yes, I think that's the key thing here, because I know that stimulates a lot of sales in a lot of various different avenues.
That's what it's supposed to do, right?
Yeah, that's what it was supposed to do. So I'm just wondering how much of that is going to end up coming back into the resale market.
Not sure. It'll
be interesting.
We'll see. Yes, that might be a follow-up podcast for you.
Yeah, maybe we'll investigate that and send that little survey out around the team and report back to it on next month's report.
Sure.
So what's been happening then in average prices here, Jody?
So there's a few things that are super surprising, Chad. Obviously, there's been some decline in the price per point from April, what we saw in April versus March and earlier in the year. But there's actually been a few resorts that had price increases, and some were pretty significant. And I find that, again, to be pretty amazing given the situation that we're all in, that some of the resorts, the price went up. Probably the biggest decline I noticed was in the price per point from March to April was with Grand Floridian and Animal Kingdom. I believe it was a $9 per point.
Yeah, those were.
Yeah, but if you look at Bay Lake Tower, average price per point in March was $140 and that went to $144 in April. So we had a $4 per point incline. Boulder Ridge also had an $8 per point incline. So
yeah, well, that and Polly had a buck as well. And
yes.
I remember last month when I was talking with Bert, I about fell out my chair going, why are people selling Bay Lake and Polly so low? And I think the market's just kind of corrected from that.
I was going to say maybe when it's one of the higher price per point resorts, there's more wiggle room, because it also happened with Grand Floridian, of course, with having a price decline, but we didn't see it with Bay Lake Tower. So I'm really not sure. Polly's a great buyer, has one of the longest deeds, and these prices right now are really, really good. Last month, what was it? $137 a point was the average sales price. That actually went up a dollar, like you said, but it's been in the 140s and 150s prior to that. It's a good time to buy Polly for sure.
I've been saying that for months.
You have, now. I know.
And here's the ironic part is I'm getting a bunch of like messages and posts from listeners saying, hey, man, I've been listening to you on your Polly stuff and I've got some offers in on it.
Good, good.
I guess people are responding and listening because I think it's a sweetheart deal.
I do too. Well, especially at these prices, my goodness. It definitely is. Definitely. Copper Creek, I still think is a good buy. And those prices are a little bit higher than Polly, but got more time as well. But for a brand new resort, I think that Copper Creek's also a pretty good purchase. If you're looking for longevity and being close to the Magic Kingdom, it's a good option.
Oh, and it's a beautiful resort as well. And I own both of those.
So. Ah, yes. So yeah, I think that seeing some declines, some more than others. Again, besides Animal Kingdom and Grand Floridian, the decline wasn't super huge, couple dollars, $2-3.
No, $2-3 seems like it's just an average deviation. Okay.
Could be. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I think when we start talking $8, $9 swings, that it's pretty noticeable.
Yeah. $9 is pretty significant. And again, with Grand Floridian, it makes a little more sense to me because it's a higher price resort. So that percentage is smaller. But on an Animal Kingdom, that's pretty interesting, right? That it's one of the more, you know, lower priced affordable resorts, but it did take $9 per point reduction from month to month.
That really is, because that's 7-8% someplace in there.
Are you quick with math there, Chad?
Well, I mean, do this enough. Switching over to the beach resorts, we saw Alani took a $5 point hit, which that's another one of my top buys, especially if you're interested in the 11-month window there.
Agreed. Alani is a great resort to own at for sure, especially if you go there and, or if you're one who, you know, lives on the West Coast and can get there a little bit quicker than those of us way over on the other side of the world. Yeah, it's a great resort, great prices right now. Absolutely. You're totally right.
And then the other shock that I see is the Grand Cal took a pretty big hit as well, from 198 to 185.
That is interesting, but I will say this, that's kind of an anomaly. There's very few sales at Grand Cal. So all you need is one or two big ones that were maybe stripped out to bring that down, the average. You'll see a different story on the next month's report because we just had a couple Grand Cal listings. I mean, we've been teetering between 3 and 4 for the last couple of months. They come and go pretty quick. But we've had a shortage of Grand Californian listings, and we just sold one yesterday for over 250 a point. And it was a small one. It was a 50-point contract. They've been at or over close to 200 for this month. But I think it was just there's so few selling that that's not a trend I would anticipate seeing.
I was a little shocked to see 185 there.
Yeah.
I remember looking at the listings and they were listed at like 210.
Yes. Yes.
I'm like going, somebody took a low offer.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we even had one Roford last month in the 170s. It's a good point to make, right? Just because Disney didn't buy anything back this month. We don't know if they will next month, but it doesn't mean just because there's nobody buying, Disney is not buying back through right of first refusal, it doesn't mean sellers are going to take whatever you offer them, right? It's not like you're, for buyers who are like looking for this steal of a lifetime, yes, there's some, it's a good time to buy, obviously. And there's some places that you can get better deals than others before the prices start to climb back up with the parks opening. But sellers aren't taking 50% off, regardless if it's going to pass right of first refusal or not. And we do have a lot of buyers thinking, Disney's not exercising the right of first refusal. We can go ahead and put in these low offers. And certainly you can, but it doesn't mean a seller's going to accept. There's no reason for a seller to come down 20, 30, 40. And we are even seeing offers sometimes 50% off. It's just not going to happen.
No, I mean, I think there's a reasonable level of an offer here. And I can only imagine from your guys' perspective, because I know legally you have to present every offer that you get. Okay. And I know when I sold my contract to you guys, I started getting some offers that was just like, no.
Yeah. We call you and we go, sorry, Chad, but have to do this. Yeah. It is tough because we really do want to help the buyers and we want to guide them and tell them, listen, this is what we're seeing them sell for. And certainly some sellers have more wiggle room than others, but coming in at 30, 40, 50% off list price is just, so not in the realm of being realistic. And we try and tell them they still want us to present the offer. And we end up upsetting one or both parties, right? Because the sellers say stuff to us that we're maybe not going to repeat to sometimes to the buyers on what they think of the offer. But needless to say, they decline it if it's, for example, 50% off. And then, you know, and then the buyers get upset because they're not getting counter-offered. And we try and tell them it's because maybe the offer's just too low. The seller thinks you're just too far apart to come together. So why bother? So there's always, I get wanting to make a good offer, but you can't be so unrealistic that it just turns somebody off. And I try and tell, this is what I try and tell the buyers, because Chad, you've been both a buyer and a seller, and so have I. When a buyer comes in and offers, let's say something's listed at 150 a point and they offer 80, obviously not going to happen. And the seller will come back and either decline or offer it or counter at $2 off per point. And the buyers get upset. It's the same as when a buyer puts in a reasonable offer, and sometimes sellers aren't reasonable and they counter at $1 off, puts a bad taste in the buyer's mouth. So it happens on both ends, where if someone's going in too low, it could turn off a seller. And if a seller's not being negotiable enough, it could turn off a buyer. So our goal is to just make everybody happy and have it be a win-win for everybody.
I listed an Animal Kingdom, and I think I listed it at 118.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting offers right off the get-go at like 90, 95.
Yeah.
I just said no. Right. I didn't counter. I'm like, no, we're too far apart for me to even counter that.
Yeah.
And because I wasn't even looking at it like it was something I wanted to sell.
Yes.
It was my wife's favorite resort. I bought it as an investment to flip.
Right.
You know, if you're not going to leave me money to make profit on this, I'm not going to take it. Okay. And I still would have made a little bit of money at that price, but not as what I was looking for.
Say, that's a good point, because when we have to relay that to a buyer, oftentimes they'll say, well, if they really want to sell, they'd look at this. Try and tell them if they really needed to sell, they could just lower the price by $5 a point. Instead of 118, you lower it, or even let's say you lowered it to 110, you'd have it sold in that same day, right? You don't need to come down $20 a point. You can reduce it by five. And especially if you're $5 less than everybody else listed, it'll sell. You don't need to go from, I want to sell this, to I have to highly discount it to get it sold. There's always a happy medium.
Yeah, I think the shocking thing here is, as a seller and as a buyer both, is you guys have such a broad marketing deal that when you list a contract with you guys, you're going to get offers like within minutes.
Yes.
That app is out there working for you guys. And the instant you list it, it's notifying buyers.
Yes.
And you're going to get offers like that. Now, they're probably going to be on the lower side because somebody's trying to fish for a motivated seller. Just be reasonable with it and work with it.
Yeah. And like we always say, and we say, call us or ask us, you know, we do this all day long, all day, every day. It's our expertise. We want to try and help a buyer get into that contract if that's what they want. And of course, we want to help a seller sell if that's what they want. And we just try and give them realistic parameters of what's good to offer and what's good to accept. You know, we tell the sellers, expect about 5% wiggle room for negotiation, and we kind of tell that to the buyers. So extending way beyond those parameters just is probably not realistic for either party. You know, we don't expect sellers to come down 20%, and we don't expect buyers to always necessarily have to pay full asking price on a 300-point contract. There should be wiggle room, but it should be reasonable.
Yeah, that's really good advice. Maybe we come back one day and just have a show specifically on how to be a buyer, and then another one on reasonable expectations for a seller. I think those would be some pretty good shows.
I agree. Yeah. Because I know that there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot on social media. There's tons of stuff. And while most of it is probably really, really good information and pretty accurate, I could tell you I've seen lots that is not so accurate. And so just ask us. We're here to help you. We want to guide you in the right direction. It doesn't benefit us to steer anybody in the wrong direction.
Jody, earlier in the podcast, we briefly mentioned inventory. I normally like to just end the show on this comments. Okay, so we know we started April's sales month with 520 contracts on the market. You guys sold 290 last month, and now we're at 360, which meant, just doing some quick math here, you got 130 new listings in last month, but you had 290 sales.
That's correct. Our sales are outpacing our listings right now.
Which typically that means that's going to drive prices back up if this trend continues.
That is correct. And that could be part of why we didn't see such a drastic price reduction and or an increase in the average selling price for the month of April on some of the resorts.
Could be. And it seems like in summer months when families are in high vacation mode, prices tend to creep up a little bit. And so I'm wondering if the parks start to open back up, if we start to see that trend start to happen again, and we start to see this little blip in the buying cycle kind of end, okay?
Yeah.
The end result would be we could easily shift back over to a seller's market like we've been for the last several years.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Nick even mentioned that in his blog, that You know, if the inventory keeps shrinking and demand keeps going up, regardless of what's going on in the country, prices will go up. I mean, supply and demand, basic economics.
It's either with talking with Nick or reading one of his articles. I know he mentioned as well, after the last 2008 crisis, and then after 2001 with 9/11, we saw a huge surge in the demand to go to Disney.
Okay, yes.
Because people wanted to travel locally, where it's yes. safe, where we know that if we get caught with coronavirus, where we catch it out in our travels, we're at least here in the U.S.
Yes. Yes.
And so I see domestic travel bouncing back quicker than anything else in the travel industry.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think, plus, you know, with Disney, people can drive as well, right? Someone who might not be thrilled with flying, still concerned with maybe germs and stuff like that, you could drive to Disney from whichever side of the country you're in. You could go to Disneyland or Disney World. I totally agree with you. I think
I'm really interested to see how the market starts to come back out and what our next month's conversation is going to be like.
Yes, I agree.
Just wrapping up today's show then, Jody, how can people contact you if they've got more questions, they want to buy, they want to sell, or they want to follow up with you from this show?
Well, they could go to our website, of course. My direct phone number is 407-325-7116, or visit the website, reach out via email, phone, whatever works for them. Just visit dvcresalemarket.com.
And I think that's your cell phone, isn't it?
That is. You could reach me direct. Don't have to push a bunch of buttons to get to me.
Yeah, or send a text or something
send
along those lines.
Yeah, absolutely.
So cell phone, direct number, 800 number, website, web chat even.
Yes.
I think you guys are the most accessible people on the planet.
We are, yes. That's true. We're always in contact with folks, which is a good thing.
Well, thanks so much for joining us on the show today, Jody.
Thanks for having me, Chad. It was great.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.